Now we begin the open question and answer session to extract maximum benefit in the limited time that we have available. In the question and answer session, we expect the following rules to be observed. Your question should be on the topic only, that is non-vegetarian food permitted or prohibited for a human being? Questions out of the topic will not be permitted. Kindly state your question briefly and to the point. This is not a lecture time, neither a cross-question time for the questioners. I repeat, kindly state your question briefly and to the point. This is not a lecture time, neither a counter-question time for the questioners. Mr. Zaveri and Dr. Zakir should answer comprehensively, and each answer should not exceed 5 minutes. 4 mics have been provided in the auditorium, 2 next to the stage for the gents and 2 in the rear central aisle for the ladies. If you wish to put a question to Mr. Zaveri, kindly queue up behind the mic with the name clip, question for Mr. Zaveri, similarly so in the ladies. And if you wish to put a question to Dr. Zakir, kindly queue up behind the mic with the name clip, question for Dr. Zakir. Only one question at a time may be asked. For your second question, you would have to go right at the back of the queue again and await your second chance. Written questions on slip papers, which are available from the volunteers in the aisles, would be given secondary preference if time permits. On your slip where you are putting a question, kindly pick or write to whom your question is addressed, Mr. Zaveri or Dr. Zakir, or it might be put aside. Kindly state your name and profession before putting forward your question so that the speakers would be in a better position to answer you. We would allow one question on each of the mics in a clockwise rotation, alternately addressed to each speaker. May we have the first question from the mic on my left? So we have first gents, ladies two, then gents. Okay. Yes, brother, you can have the first question from you. That's from Mr. Zaveri?
Yeah.
Yes.
Respected chief guest and Mr. Zaveri, my question is, you have spoken non-vegetarian is prohibited from various angles, and you have spoken about your Lord Mahavir. Mahavir advised that killing animals and living happy at the expenses of others is prohibited. Now please explain to me, did Mahavir say that can you eat vegetarian in the sense, I mean, Mahavir never go and cut trees and have vegetable food. He was always sitting under the tree, and the food which he has eaten is mostly fruit which has fallen from the tree. He was not plucking up the fruit and ate. So please explain to me, because you have spoken on the subject of this non-vegetarian is prohibited for the thing, and please explain to me what is the Jain view, because your idea is the what Mahavir said.
I understood your question. Yeah, I will reply. See, what Lord Mahavir stated, that even plant has got life, and he says that even eating vegetable food is, as per the Jain scriptures, is prohibited for Jain Muni. But because of constraint, everybody cannot become a Jain Muni. That is why he said that at least the unnecessary killing of animals should be avoided. He never said that eating of plant food is allowed even for Jain Muni.
Yes. Question for Dr. Zakir.
Assalamu alaikum, Brother Zakir. I'm Humaina here. I have a question. There are various pamphlets distributed by a vegetarian society quoting the Quran from Surah Hajj, that it is not the meat nor the blood that reaches Allah, but your piety that reaches Him, thus proving that Islam prohibits killing of animals for fowl. There are many quotations from Quran and Hadith showing concern for animals.
I would like to thank the sister He has asked a very fundamental question, that there are certain pamphlets distributed by organizations proving from the Quran and Hadith that non-veg food a Muslim should not have, it is prohibited. And this was the initiation of this debate. I didn't touch on it because, you know, they told me to keep out of religion. But since it's a question I'm compelled to answer, this was a pamphlet that the president of Pusha Foundation, Mr. Dhanda Khalesha, he gave, and how this debate was initiated. He gave this pamphlet quoting from the Quran. I just give also reference. The reference is a bit wrong out there, but I don't catch on the reference. He's quoting a verse from Surah Hajj, chapter 22, verse number 37, which says that it is not their meat, nor their blood, which reaches Allah, which reaches God, but it is your piety that reaches Him. And I agree with that. Totally. It's indicating that Islam is not like certain other religions, which believe that Almighty God requires blood and meat to survive. It's saying that when you sacrifice, blood doesn't reach God, meat doesn't reach God. It is your intention. It is the righteousness. It's the piety with which you sacrifice. Allah considered that piety. That is the reason when we sacrifice in Eid al-Zuha, minimum one-third portion of that animal has to be given compulsory to the poor people. One-third can be given to friends and relatives. And maximum one-third you can keep for personal use. There is no part kept for Almighty God. Because Quran says in Surah An'am chapter 6 verse 14 that He feeds everyone but does not require to be fed. Allah Almighty God feeds everyone. He doesn't require to be fed. This verse is clear that when you sacrifice, Allah sees your intention. He doesn't require blood and meat of the animal. So one more quotation. There are various. It will take me 1 hour to reply to all. I'll just pick up the second quotation of Quran, the two Quranic quotations. It says in Surah Baqarah chapter 2 verse number 205 that when they turn away, they create mischief through the land by destroying crops and cattle. Allah loves not those who make mischief. After giving this quotation, below it mentions that therefore you should not have non-veg. Their interpretation. The Arabic word used is nafar, which some have translated as cattle. It actually means progeny. But irrespective whether nafar you translate as cattle or progeny, if you read the context, those people who create mischief throughout the world by destroying crops and cattle or progeny, not slaughtering for food, destroying for creating mischief. Allah does not like those who make mischief. So if you kill any animal, even the plant if you kill, for making mischief, Allah doesn't like. If you say this verse refers to not having for food, that means you should not even have the crops. If I agree with you, this verse refers not to have cattle, even crops is there. It is a very wrong way of argument. They don't do self-analysis. Crop is also mentioned there. If they say by this verse, non-veg is prohibited, even veg is prohibited. It is not. Neither non-veg is prohibited, neither veg is prohibited. Certain food which Allah has prohibited mentioned in the Quran, the other Allah says in Surah Baqarah chapter 2 verse 168, eat of the good food they provide for you. Regarding animal concern. Here there are various hadith. If you read Sahih Bukhari volume number 3, hadith number 551, and Sahih Bukhari volume number 8, hadith number 38, it speaks about a man who gave water to a thirsty dog. And Prophet said, he'll be rewarded. So people ask, do you even have reward for giving water to a thirsty dog? The Prophet said, yes. For every kind act you do to the animal, you'll be rewarded. Imagine in the days of ignorance, Yawm al-Jahiliya, 1400 years ago, where human beings were treated like animals, our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam spoke about animal rights. Prophet said, don't overload the animals. You know, today in India, two bullocks are supposed to carry by law not more than 500 kgs. They carry more than a ton. Prophet said, don't overload them. Don't ill-treat them. Don't tie them and shoot them. Mentioned by Muslim. Volume number 3. Hadith number 4812. It's also mentioned by Bukhari. Don't tie the animal and shoot them. It's mentioned by Muslim. Volume number 3. Hadith number 4810. That when you slaughter the animal, see to it that the knife is sharp, so that the animal doesn't feel pain. Don't slaughter one animal in front of the other. Don't kill the animal twice. He said that, you know, adrenaline is released. It releases in the blood goes out of the body. Prophet spoke about animal concern. You should protect the rights. But for food, If it's lawful animal, we can have it. Hope that answers the question. Yes, sister.
It's mentioned in the book, 100 Facts About Egg. On page number 8 and 9, fact number 13. Ethiopians are of the view, if a pregnant woman eats eggs, her child would be born bald-headed and would be deficient in reproduction. It's also mentioned in fact number 18. Some African countries believe that if a child is given to eat egg before feeding, he may become mentally retarded. Are these scientific facts or are these superstitions? If you say these are scientific facts, then could you please prove it authentically? And if you say it's superstitions, then why are you promoting falsehood by such books, that 100 facts about it? Thank you.
Thank you, sister. One thing, I have not written that book. Second thing, I have not given that book to you, and I have not referred to anything from that book. So it is not necessary to answer particularly for that book, but I can definitely say, which I have already touched upon in my subject, so because egg contains excessive protein and cholesterol and saturated fat, that is why it is not healthy for any human being, and particularly for pregnant women and children.
Yes, the next question from the mic on the right.
I am Fazal Sarang. By profession, I am an architect. My question is to Dr. Zaki Naik. Is the non-veg or non-vegetarian food is the only reason for the heart disease?
The brother asked a very good question. That is non-veg the only reason for the heart disease? And this was spoken by Mr. Dravedi. That flesh, animal flesh, chicken, mutton, beef, called heart disease. It can cause. He's right. And he further said, there is not a single vegetable source which contains cholesterol. If you tell that to any doctor, not the ideological vegetarian, they'll agree. Heart disease is caused when the diet contains more fat and more cholesterol, irrespective whether it is by the non-veg. Irrespective. Non-veg. Foods do contain high cholesterol. But even vegetable foods, groundnut oil, cashew nut, coconut, ghee, butter, all this, even a common housewife knows. You know why? There are ads in the media. Have safola oil will not cause heart disease. Indicating the other oils cause heart disease. Simple. You don't have to be a doctor. It's a blatant 100% falsehood. I being a medical doctor, I challenge Mr. Rashmi Vaidavi to answer, does butter contain fat or not? And the doctors do tell the people suffering heart disease, don't have fat, don't have butter, don't have groundnut oil, don't have cashew nut oil. So where did you get this idea from? From these books. This book he gave to me. Correct? This book you gave to my brother. Who gave? Mr. Salesha gave this book. In this book also it is mentioned the same thing, that there is no cholesterol in vegetables. I'm sorry if I thought, because the first time I'm meeting Mr. Zaveri here, if he didn't give these books, I apologize. But one thing, that all these books are published by Jain organization. You know, and distributed in Bombay. Cheap. Yes, I'm not blaming. I don't want to hurt.
Let us not have a dialogue across this thing.
I'm not going to hurt anyone's feeling. I'm sorry, I didn't want to say that, but I was compelled. I don't want. If it's not, you said not written by Jain, it's not written.
No, you said, Dr. Jakir, that I should reply.
You will have a chance in a question answer time.
I'll let you allow you time, in your time you can respond back.
I'll allow you to respond back, anything you want in your time.
And I request the chairman to give me 1/2 minute more, I was disturbed. 1/2 minute more.
No, it's too smart, we'll not give him 1/2 minute more.
See, because so many allegations, egg does contain cholesterol. It's written cholesterol. But it's not the major cause. Today's research and medical books also say that the cholesterol in the egg is not the major villain. It is the saturated fat in which you fry the egg, butter, ghee, lard, pork, which is the main villain? If you don't have this frying in ghee, butter, the less chances of having ischemic heart disease by egg. And today, amongst the population, 2/3 of the population are non-responders to cholesterol. The moment that high intake of cholesterol, like taking egg, the liver immediately cuts its own production. And the level that reaches the blood is the same. There are 1/3 people who are responders to cholesterol. They have a problem. They should abstain from yolk of the egg. Otherwise, even if you have 1 or 2 eggs a day, you will not have heart diseases. And if you have it with bacon, with pork, then the problem. If you fry in ghee, you'll have a problem. If you fry in groundnut oil, you'll have a problem. Causing baldness. I don't want to give examples. Even if you check here, there are many people who are bald. There are great philosophers who are bald. I don't want to take their names, I don't want to hurt your feelings. So this thing is just a research which is based on illogical assumption. A research should be practical. And the associated factor for heart disease is also alcohol as well as smoking. These two are also one of the associated causes for heart diseases. Yes, in America, heart disease are more in non-veg because they are fat. Quran says don't have an excess, this problem will be solved. Secondly, the vegetarians of America, they are affluent. It's a woke to be a vegetarian because, you know, to buy veg food is expensive. If you turn Mercedes car, you have status. If you have veg food, it is status there. About 3 to 7% are vegetarian in America. Less than 1% are pure vegetarian. Less than 1%. Because they are affluent and they are rich, they take more care of hygiene. And many vegetarian ideologically, also, like even Mr. Rashmi Zaveri may agree, that alcohol is prohibited, smoking is prohibited. Because of associated factors, the case of heart disease in vegetarians is less. But anyone who has food which is rich in cholesterol or fat, irrespective whether it is veg or non-veg, he will have heart disease. To prevent it, follow the guidance in the Quran in Surah Taha, chapter number 20, verse number 81, that do not commit excesses. That reminds me of a story. In school we had learned that there was a religious priest who ate excessive food, and he had 64 laddus, and when he came back, his wife said, "Then why don't you have puran chutki, some digestive?" So he said, "Are baoli akal nahi banke che bachcho ki mata, agar puran chutki ke liye jagah hoti to main 2 laddu aur na bhok leta."
Brother, the question is directed to Mr. Rashmi Zaveri. This is a book I've come across which is named Meat Eating 100 Facts. Please, sir, this is not concerning.
You may put your question saying one book writes like that rather than saying this person's book or that. You say this book states so and so, that would be acceptable.
Okay, here is a book from Jain Publication. You being a Jain, I'm asking you a question. Which is, the name is Meat Eating 100 Facts, written by Dr. Nemi Chand. And it gives a cartoonic representation of meat eating people, which I feel it's very insulting and, it's degrading, defaming. So I just want to ask you, in this Jain being tolerant, is it fair enough for Jain to publish such books which can hurt people's feelings? It's mockery, Please answer.
Yes, the speaker would not like to answer to that. I give him the full right not to answer to the question which a speaker feels is
but
not
Chand
suitable.
Is asking about
we will allow the second question. Will the speaker?
The question
okay,
being
the
tolerant.
Next question, please, for the he passes that answer. He would not like to respond. The speakers have a right. I would request the questioners not to get worried or agitated in any sort. The speakers have a full right not to respond, or if you feel your question is not right or not suitable for them, they have a right not to respond back. Kindly note to put your question and frame it in such a way that it is not vulgar, neither derogatory, and
yes.
So it should not be derogatory to the speaker or to a particular faith. Put it in a factual manner. This is what stated. What is your opinion? Don't give your comment in a derogatory manner. Ask, what do you say about this? Yes, don't give your opinion. Let the speaker give their opinion on the subject. Yes, sister. Next question for Dr. Zakir.
Assalamu alaikum, brother. My name is Azra. I would like to ask,
in a book promoting vegetarianism by Gopinath Agarwal, on page 15th and 16th, he says that the milk a cow gives in its lifetime can satisfy 90,000 persons at one time, but the same cow is killed for flesh can satisfy 1,000 persons at one time. The same applies for goat also. He says killing the goose that lays a golden egg daily is never a wise proposition. Do you agree with him?
This is asked a question again from the same book, and I would like to make a clarification. Mr. Palachari, he gave this book and said you can have more books by letter if you want. And these books are available in various market places. People are bound to buy, etc. That's it. Therefore, I'm telling you, I'm requesting the people. That's right. That's right. The brother asked, why am I repeating? Because all the arguments are mentioned here. These arguments, if it's not mentioned here, I wouldn't have repeated it.
I'll do it. Please, I think your tempers must be calm. What Mr. Javeri said very correctly. Book is written by somebody else. It is he who should try to defend the book. Mr. Javeri doesn't want to defend the book. So let us forget the book and ask all questions which are pertaining to the talk.
Correct. And I agree with it. Mr. Javeri read from books. He didn't do a research. He read books which speaking against non-vegetarian. He read books and he presented the facts. Either I accept it or I say the fact is wrong. I can't say because I didn't write the book. No one can ask me questions. That's illogical. If you ask me any questions pertaining to non-veg food, I either say the book is false or I say that it's illogical or it's logical. Why do you have to get irritated? It's a book promoting vegetarianism. If someone gets the book against Islam, I will say that book is false.
Excuse me, I don't allow a debate between the audience and the speaker. The audience just put the question, the speaker can only answer the question. Don't get involved. I will not allow Dr. Zakir, neither Mr. Zaveri to get involved in any debate with the audience. This is not a debate time for the audience. Kindly note. You can continue with the answer.
I'm going to start with the answer. You can start the timing also. If I'm going to be interrupted every time, I want to give a complete answer. I request the chairperson not to be biased towards one person only. If they're interrupting my answer, has to be given time. And sister raised an argument, which is there not only in this book, even in other books on internet. You go to the internet, the same argument is given. First thing is, that is milk veg or non-veg is a big question. There are vegetarians who say that milk is non-veg. This book. I'm not blaming the speaker. This book, again, says milk is non-veg. If you have milk, so many diseases. Other vegetarian foundations say no. We are lacto-vegetarian. We have milk. Whether milk is non-veg or veg. My simple question is, if you don't want to hurt the animals, when you milk the animal, it causes severe pain. You know, artificial milking of animal causes pain. You ask a breastfeeding woman, for an anxious problem, and she has to extract milk artificially, it is so painful. So when you extract milk from the animal, it's painful. When you don't agree that animals are meant for food, how can you make the animals, the cattle and the cow? It is so painful. It is nothing but robbing the animal. If you say the animal is not meant for food, and if you have the milk of that animal, you are robbing the milk which is meant for the offspring, for the calf. And the example that was given, that a cow, on average, in a day gives 10 kgs of milk. Again, this book. If it's wrong, no problem. It's on the internet also. 10 kgs of milk in a day. In a month, 300 kgs. In a year, about 3000 kgs. Do you calculate milk in kgs? In liters. Why in kgs? I don't know. Ask the author. And then further it says that 3000 kgs of milk, it will feed 6000 people. So in full lifetime, it will feed 90,000 people at one time. And the cow is to kill only 1,000 people. Which is better? 90,000 or 1,000? Why are you killing the goose that's laying the golden egg daily? It's not a wise proposition. And I agree with that. But the point to be noted is that no milkman will ever give a milking cow to the slaughterhouse. No slaughterhouse will ever purchase a milking cow because a milking cow is multiple times more expensive than a cow which has passed its age of milking. In Bombay, it costs 20 to 25,000 rupees milking cow. An old cow which has crossed the milking age costs only 3 to 5,000 rupees. So, what we do, we non-vegetarians, the cattle. We look after it till the time it gives milk. After it starts giving milk, we slaughter it. We take all the eggs of the goose. When it stops laying, we slaughter the goose for its flesh. Saab bhi mare aur lathi bhi na toote. Two birds with one stone. We are more intelligent. Again, the argument given. Let's see some animals, you can use them in field, etc. You can use them for plowing, for transportation. If you love the animals so much, why do you overload them? And furthermore, the Indian society tells us that out of the population of cows, oxes and bulls, only 25% are productive. The remaining 75% are unproductive. Either past the age of milking or they are male, all done female, bulls, oxes. Now what will you do with the 75% of excess non-productive cow, goat, bull, ox? One option, you rear them up yourself. An average bull or cow requires 18,000 a year for living, according to the statistics. Their statistics, not my statistics. 18,000 a year. So after they give milk, they live another 4-5 years. This farmer will bear the burden of millions of cows every year, 18,000. Second option is give to give their organization. They leave it open, it enters the field, eats up the crop. Third option, leave them in a jungle, animal will kill them. The last option is best, after they reach the age of milking, utilize the milk, give it to slaughterhouses, it benefits the farmer, he gets the money, and even the animal benefits the human being by eating the meat of the animal, as well as his hide for leather, as well as the bones. Hope that answers the question.
Next question from Mr. Zaveri.
According to Kastur Chand Jain, in the marriage of the 22nd Tirthankar, Adit Neni, popularly known as Neninath, meat of animals and birds was served. And both the bride and the bridegroom, according to Shastra, were Jain. Another incident was quoted that Khelna, a Jain Shravika who was the wife of Bhimsar Shrenik, a contemporary of Mahavir, was pregnant. And she had the desire to eat the heart of her husband. Bhimsar's eldest son, Abhay Kumar, instead gave her some meat of a dead animal, and Khelna, thinking it to be her husband's heart, ate it. I don't know how authentic is this article, and whether what Kastur Chand said is true or false. What is its explanation? Please explain. I am referring to the article from the Caravan series, December 1981.
Thank you, sister. First of all, I will request the coordinator to only allow those questions coming out of my talk, not out of any other book or another references for which I am not responsible. But because I am a true Jain, I know definitely about the Jain history, about Neninath Tirthankar. Yes, it is true. That is why he propagated that the killing of, that is exactly why he renounced the world, that for my marriage, are you going to sacrifice all these innocent creatures? No, I don't want such a fish for me. And that is why he became a Jain Muni and ultimately a Tirthankar. So that is why I can say that all Jain Tirthankaras have absolutely, in absolute terms, have prohibited non-veg food. Thank you. And please restrict your question to my talk only, not because it seems, I don't know, it seems that these books were given in all good faith, that they should understand our viewpoint. It seems that they are all distributed to those people and they are now asked to ask questions. I don't think that is fair. You can ask me any question from my talk. I will be very happy to say.
Any question can be asked on the topic. Well, the thing is, whether it's in the talk or
I don't mind, that is okay.
Not necessarily.
And another point I will tell Mr. Coordinator, that Mr. Y.P. Trivedi and myself, we both have got other meetings, so we would like to conclude within 5 minutes.
What I would suggest, see, the time given to both the speakers to speak was 50 minutes, then 15 minutes was for response, then we would have a question answer session for 50 minutes. If any of the speakers would like to forfeit the time of not carrying on with the question session, if they have an emergency, I would excuse them, but I would continue the question answer session for 50 minutes, because that has what been the chart given to me as to execute it, like I had been told, Dr. Zakir cannot in his talk or response speak on any other religion. Forcefully got him not to speak on it. I'm telling you, forcefully I had to convince him you cannot touch anything else. I got him convinced because that was the request he received. Now what both speakers have agreed to, I have followed that. Anything which both speakers don't agree, I've thrown it out. Let me be very clear. We have said 15 minutes, we'll allow 15 minutes, but if one speaker would like to leave early for any emergency or any requirement, a person has got a full free will and a choice. I would respect that requirement, but we'll continue question answer for 15 minutes. I've written down the time, 12:45. Close down at around 1:30. Right? So I think that is being very fair and clear on my part. The next question for Dr. Zakir.
Assalamu alaikum, Zakir bhai. My name is Khan Abdul Sami, and my question to you is, food value charts are distributed by vegetarians showing that the protein and iron content of vegetarian food is higher than non-veg food. And thus they say veg food is more nutritious than non-food. Your comments, please. Thank you.
That was a very good question. I would like to reply to the question posed by the learned speaker also. He doesn't know who distributed them. It is given in writing out here. It is given by Rishabh Foundation to IRS saying, we would be pleased to give you more such material in huge quantities if you like the same to be circulated among Muslim brothers in Mumbai. Free of charge. The brother has asked the question that there are food charts being distributed here, they didn't use yet in a foundation. We didn't respond, saying that it's not worth responding. But when the request came from the Rishabh Foundation, are you willing? I reluctantly agreed, you know, it is not a topic of scientific thing, it's a well-known fact. He said, yes, we'll debate. I said, fine, so I'm here, just replying. Why should people get irritated? You can quote me from any book. As long as within the topic, I will inshallah answer. If I don't know, I will say I don't know. If I know, I will say no. I know your question, and even I got that chart. It gives food value chart, saying that protein among the veg food is more than non-veg food. And even Mr. Rashmi has agreed in this talk. He said that the value of protein, the quantity is more. Mr. Rashmi has agreed said that there were only 3 essential amino acids. You ask any doctor. It is not 3, it is 8. No wonder 5 is lacking. It is 8 essential amino acids which are not synthesized in the body. The remaining are synthesized. These essential amino acids should be given by the external food source. The proteins of animal food, the biologically complete, known as higher protein, because they contain all the 8 essential amino acids. The veg proteins are lacking in one or more of the essential amino acids. It's a scientific answer. So even though the value may be more, 20 up, 10 down, it is not complete. The veg protein, the incomplete protein of lesser quality, animal protein is of higher quality and complete protein. Similarly, if you analyze, even the iron you get from the diet, is a 2 types. One is heme iron, one is non-heme iron. Heme iron can be absorbed easily in the body. Non-heme iron cannot be absorbed easily. In the animal food, there is heme iron as well as non-heme iron. The vegetable food contains very little heme iron. Therefore, they cannot absorb. Therefore, there is more deficiency of iron in them. So, even I agree with you, the iron content in figures may be higher. The protein content is higher. Down the conclusion is, veg food is more nutritive. It's misleading the people. It's nothing but misleading. I would call it in plain English, fraud. Who is doing it? Some vegetarian society. Misleading the people. And fraud is prohibited in every religion, small or big. Whether major or minor religion, fraud is prohibited. So, I would like to ask the question, would you prefer taking 10 notes of rupees 20 or 1 note or rupees 500? If you know the value for money, you choose the second. Hope that answers the question.
The next question for Mr. Zaveri.
Assalamu alaikum. I am Javed Sheikh. My question is to Rashmi Bhai. Rashmi Bhai, in your talk, you mentioned that diseases transmitted through meat, flesh to human beings. But plants also affected by some diseases, viral, bacterial diseases. So you can get diseases from plants, vegetarian food also. You also mentioned Dean Ornish and Deepak Chopra, references and recommendation of those doctors. If you believe in recommendations of doctors and medical professionals, Trivedis also mentioned that. If you believe in that, I want to quote only a simple example. When I was child, doctors, when I was suffering from fever, doctors were suggesting that don't take bath by cold water. But nowadays, they are telling, when I get fever, they are telling that please take bath by cold water only. See, so if you are believing in quotations, statistical data and medical things, so please give statistical data. Dr. Zakir Naik mentioned survey of America regarding coronary heart disease. So do you have any statistical data regarding coronary heart disease in India, whether is affected to more susceptible to those who are having diet, vegetarian diet, or to non-vegetarian diet?
I would request you to put a question briefly, please.
Your question is so long that
don't forget.
The last part is the question.
Coronary heart disease.
See, regarding coronary heart disease, yeah, plants also, if you consume the decayed the decayed fruit, definitely it will carry germs. The point here is that the animals that carry the germs, they are more dangerous and they are likely to carry more diseases than plants. Another thing is that which I have said is that the animal food contains excessive protein, cholesterol and saturated fat. So these two things combined, that will make non-veg food prohibitive. Coming to the statistics, I have got that book. There is no time, there is not a platform to argue about the statistics. I have got complete statistics that more people are suffering because of heart disease, those who are flesh eaters, than the veg people. Now, at the moment, I cannot give you those facts and figures. That I have got it, then I can supply it to you later. Thank you.
No counter question, please. Here's the next question for Dr. Zakir.
Assalamu alaikum, brother. Brother, my name is Safia. I'm a devotee of Islam. My question is, in the book Vegetarian or Non-Vegetarian, Choose for Yourself by Gopinath Agarwal, there are quotations given from major world religions, including Hinduism and Christianity, that non-vegetarian is forbidden, prohibited. How do you say it's permitted?
This is asking the question that there are quotations from the same book, quoting various major world religions like Christianity and Hinduism, saying that in that religion it is prohibited. How come I said that there is not a single major religion which says that non-veg food in general is prohibited? I clarified just some viewpoint. It's a misquotation, out of context, misunderstanding. I do agree one thing, that there are certain quotations, sometimes non-veg food is prohibited even in Islam. Like for example, the verse I quoted from Maida chapter 5 verse number 1, it says that don't do hunting in pilgrimage. Within the sacred pilgrimage, don't do hunting. If you are fasting in the month of Ramadan, sunrise to sunset, don't have non-veg food, don't even have veg food. If I say don't have non-veg food during fasting, that doesn't mean non-veg food is prohibited. Prohibited only during that time. So similarly, there are quotations in the religious scriptures, a certain time in fasting, don't have non-veg food. We have a question in Christianity, and I read that book, therefore I can reply. They say that in the Bible it is mentioned that you can't have dead food. In brackets they put meat. It's not there. What the quote in the reference is not given. I think a student of compiled religion, I give talks on diet also. And they are referring to the book of Leviticus, chapter number 17, verse number 15, as well as the book of Deuteronomy, chapter number 14, verse number 21. It says that thou shalt not have the meat that dieth of itself. Dead meat is prohibited. Not all meat. Dead meat. They say dead food and bracket meat. It is dead meat is prohibited. Even in the Quran.
through Baqarah chapter 2 verse 173, through Maida chapter 5 verse number 3, through Alam chapter 6 verse 145, through Nail chapter 16 verse 115, Hurramat alaykum ul-maitu tu waddamu wa lahmu chintir, kama uhilla li jairin labi. Hobin for you for food, dead meat, blood, the flesh of swine, and any food on which any name besides Allah has been invoked. Where it is allowed? If you read the book of Genesis, chapter number 9, verse number 23, it says that they will fear you, they will dread you, all creatures of the earth, all fowls in the sky, all creatures that live on the earth, as well as all the fish in the sea, they shall be delivered to you. Next verse, Genesis chapter 9 verse 3, it says that every creature that moveth on land and is a living creature, they are meat unto you, and also herbs and shrubs. Mentioned in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter number 14, verse number 9, that ye shall have the meat of all the things in the water. All that has fins and tails you shall eat. Deuteronomy, chapter number 14, verse number 11 says that you shall have the lawful meat of the birds. Deuteronomy, chapter number 14, verse number 20 says that ye shall eat the meat of the lawful fowls. It's allowed. Further, if you read, it's mentioned in the book of Hebrews, chapter number 5, verse number 13 and 14, that if you have meat, you are weak. If you have strong meat, you are powerful in reasoning. Bible says that, not I. In the Gospel of Luke, chapter number 24, only quotation, verse number 41 to 43, Jesus Christ, peace be upon him, going in the upper room, and he says, have you any meat to eat? And the disciples gave him a piece of boiled fish and honeycomb, fish, and he ate before them. Jesus Christ, peace be upon him. In the book of Romans, chapter number 14, verse number 2 and 3 says that one who believeth in eating all things, he can eat. Those who are weak, they only eat herbs and shrubs. But anyone who eateth should not insult those who eateth not. And those who eateth not should not judge those who eateth. This is law of God. Hindu scriptures. If you read the law of Manu, chapter number 5, verse number 30, it's clearly mentioned that the eater can eat any creature that lives, even if he eats every day. A creator created some creatures to eat and some to be eaten. Laws of Manu, Manu Smriti, chapter number 5, verse number 31. It says that if you eat in a sacrifice, this is the law of a god. Manu Smriti, chapter number 5, verse number 42. It says that a twice born
brother. No, please.